The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." So today we're going to talk about, can you prove that Jesus is God? The overview: I periodically get emails from people who take issue with me because I state that Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, was and is a human being, a created being, and is not God in the flesh. We will discuss reference to the Bible, but the Bible is not the Word of God. We will consider a fundamental approach to verification. We will then note that the name of the Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and that the name of the being in question is Yahushua, not Jesus. We will stress that not one jot or tittle of the Torah, the law, will pass away. It will be noted that the covenant of Yahushua, Jesus, only came into existence on his death. He was an Old Testament prophet. We will stress that the great commandment is love Yah with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We will then note that the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is to have no other mighty ones beside Yah. I will then point out that ordinary people do not understand anointed ones and what they do, and then we will discuss various other points. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? My name is James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So today we're going to look at 2023-0101. Can you prove that Jesus is God? As I said a moment ago, I periodically get emails from people who take issue with me because I state that Yeshua, incorrectly, Jesus was and is a human being, a created being, and is not God in the flesh. I've addressed this in various ways over the years. See in particular 2022-10-08, the five big lies about Jesus, which was broadcast 2 weeks ago. In 2022-11-02, the nine greatest truths about Yeshua, Jesus, that was broadcast last week. See also 2021-04-05, the essence of my message concerning Yeshua, Jesus. There are many other pages relating to Yeshua, There are many other pages relating to Yeshua, such as 2022-11-06. Yeshua, Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Also, the original Yeshua page and child pages on the web page, Yeshua. Folks, this is a really big issue, and we'll talk about it over the next few weeks. There's a huge pervasive error that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Father in the flesh. It has huge ramifications for your situation. If you believe that, you're going to get a nasty shock when you die. So I'm going to set out in the today and in this next couple of broadcasts a fairly detailed rebuttal of the rationale, the argument, the statement, the belief that Jesus is God. So see also 2020-10-01, the miraculous planning of the death of Yeshua, to better understand who Yeshua was and is and how he accomplished what he did. Fundamentally, my message is that Yeshua was and is a created being, that he could not have accomplished what he did if he was not 100% human, and that he is now in heaven with tremendous glory, power, and authority as a reward for his sinless life and obedience in death. Some people have a major problem with this and write to tell me that I'm mistaken, that Yeshua is God. If you are a person who thinks I'm mistaken about Yeshua, then I'd like to challenge you to prove that Yeshua, Jesus, is God, Yah, the Almighty, the Creator. To do that, I have to say to you, you're going to have to go through every single section in this fairly detailed presentation. I think there are about 47 points where, in my opinion, I fairly comprehensively rebut the understanding, the statement, the belief that Yeshua is Yah, that Jesus is God. My challenge to you, if you are one who believes that Jesus is God, is to read or listen to everything that I have to say in the next 45 minutes, everything that I have to say next Friday and the following Friday, and rebut every single point. If you can't rebut even one of my points, if there's even one of my points you can't rebut, you have a problem. So in order to address the question, I've listed all the items I can think of that prove that Yeshua is not the Creator in the flesh. In other words, that Jesus is not God. I've also rebutted as many of the arguments supporting the case for Jesus is God that I can think of. in order to prove to me that Jesus is God, you will need to rebut all of these points using accurate language and verifiable data. There are huge issues here, folks. The Bible originally was translated through the filter of believing that Jesus is God. Therefore, there are all sorts of nuances of translation that support the view that Jesus is God. You've got to really look critically, read the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation repeatedly, analyze it critically. Where there is a word or a phrase that is pivotal in your understanding that Jesus is God, analyze it deeply. Go into Bible Hub, for example, and look at their interlinear. Go to any interlinear and drill down into the Greek. And what you may find is that there are a significant number of instances, and I touch on some of these today and in the next couple of weeks, where a word which is meaningless in the Greek has been given a meaning that supports the doctrine that Jesus is God, but there is no ways that broader interpretation and translation of that word in any way supports that doctrine. So you need to be really, really careful about what you put on the New Testament in terms of believing that Jesus is God. And that goes for as well for the Old Testament, the various so-called prophetic references to the coming Messiah, the coming anointed one. So I make reference to the Bible, but the Bible is not the Word of God. In addressing this question, I will make maximum use of Bible verses with the caveat that I do not believe the Bible is the Word of God or similar. If you have a problem with this, then read first my article 2022-1107. Can you prove that the Bible is the Holy Word of God? And then the message 2022-0703, the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Note that the mistaken belief that Yeshua is the Almighty, Yah, Jesus is God, is based on mistranslations of the Bible. Those who believe that Jesus is God misquote the Bible to prove that Jesus is God and do not take account of the true names and accurate translation. These points are addressed in the following sections. The whole issue of the Bible not being the Word of God is a completely separate discussion. I've addressed it previously. I will have no doubt address it again. I walked for 8 years deeply with Father, believing the Bible was his word, using that language, to one day he said to me, the Bible's not my word. It took me 10 years to internalize that and come to the understanding that I now have, that I can say with absolute conviction that the Bible is not the Word of God. Not an easy journey. So I'm under no illusion that what I'm asking you to do today is not easy if you believe that Jesus is God. So I want to talk about a fundamental approach to verification. Fundamentally, you must be able to verify what you believe for yourself without relying on others to interpret for you. That includes me. Dig into the Bible verses I quote and any others that come to mind. Make sure you have the correct root words and that you can substantiate your beliefs across the entire Bible. Fundamentally, what I'm saying is prove it for yourself. Don't take another person's word for it. See the article 2022-1107. Can you prove that the Bible is the Holy Word of God? For a more detailed discussion of this concept. Following is the list of points that I can think of. Words in curly brackets are inaccurate and should be avoided. So you can't see the curly brackets, but I'll try and express them verbally. Folks, the Bible is entirely capable of being understood by you. If you want to make reference to commentaries, etc., do so, But do not fall into the trap of believing, because the commentary is in the margins of a book called a Bible, that the commentary is also the Bible. Recognize that the translation is a work of human beings or a human being, and is therefore susceptible to error. Recognize that the New Testament was largely written in Hebrew, not largely in Greek. It was translated into Greek as a result of persecution, and the Hebrew texts were largely destroyed. And recognize that it's been translated from Hebrew to Greek, from Greek to English, and if you speak another language, from wherever to that other language, but frequently it's been translated from English to that other language, or German to that other language, or Latin to that other language, or whatever. It's a whole complex topic, and it's way beyond the subject of this broadcast. So my first point in support of Jesus is not God, and my challenge to you to prove that Jesus is God, is that the name of the Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing, Yah being Y-A-H. It cannot be translated. That's his name. I don't answer to Jim or Jimmy or whatever, or Yaakov or Jacob or whatever, all of which are variations of James. My name is James. I vehemently oppose, resist being called anything else. Likewise, I understand that the Almighty wants to be called Yah. He doesn't want to be called something else. In considering this topic, it's important to recognize that the true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, capital letters, not God with a capital G, etc. See 2021, the essence of my message renames, and 2022, 1202, the name of Yah, the Creator, is throughout the Bible. In other words, to prove the thesis that Jesus is God, one must prove that Yahushua, Jesus, is Yah, and therefore the Almighty and the Creator. It's very confusing, as we'll see in a few minutes, to believe that the true name of the Creator is the Lord, capital letters, or God, or whatever, Jehovah. You need to be clear what his name is, otherwise you're going to confuse him with other people. Then point number two, the name of the being in question is Yeshua, not Jesus. I've asked you to prove that Jesus is God, and the first thing you need to do in order to prove that Jesus is God is prove that Yeshua is Yah. In considering this discussion, consider the article Names Including Yah on the website, and note that the true name of the one commonly referred to as Jesus is Yahushua, Y-A-H, O-O-S-H-U-A, meaning Yah is salvation, which points to the Creator as Savior, not the created being. In continuing this discussion, I will use the name Yahushua from here on outwards. Note also the distinction between their names. Clearly, Yahushua has a name that is distinct from Yah and which points to Yah. This distinction is lost in the use of Jesus, God, the Lord, etc. To prove that Jesus is God, one has to overcome this point. So one of the huge problems with the vast majority of Bible translations, certainly English Bible translations, and I've read many of them, is the use of non-Hebrew names. If you think that his name is Jesus, then you won't know that his true name is Yahushua. You won't know that the true name of the Almighty is Yah, not the Lord, and therefore you will not realize that the name Yahushua speaks of Yah. That being so, how can Yahushua be Yah? Folks, it doesn't make any sense. The guy's name is Yah is salvation, and then you turn that around and said, no, Yah is salvation is Yah. No. Doesn't make sense, folks. Point number three, not one jot or tittle of the Torah, the law, will pass away. In considering the subject of proving that Jesus is God, a fundamental point of departure is Matthew 5:18, Yahushua speaking, For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the Torah, the law, till all is fulfilled. Fundamentally, all arguments in the context of the submission that Jesus is God must comply with the terms of the core so-called Old Testament, and particularly the Ten Commandments. If one cannot prove Jesus is God taking account of this verse, then your argument falls flat. So there are several Hebrew words translated law. There are several Greek words translated law. At the one extreme of the law, at its narrowest fundamental meaning, law refers to the Ten Commandments. And that's what I'm calling the Torah, the essential laws of Yah. Then there's something like 613 Mishnah, or whatever they are called in Jewish tradition, laws which are derived from the so-called books of Moses. The Torah is often reflected by Jews as being the five so-called books of Moses, which Moses supposedly wrote before he died and described his own death and other harebrained things, folks. If you're in the space of thinking that Yah is mystical and magical and people write about what life will be like after they die and everything is a pre-planned script, please rethink of it. There's an article on the website that says, "You are not a glove puppet." Please read it. Then point number four, the covenant of Yeshua, Jesus, only came to existence on his death. He was an Old Testament prophet. It's vital to understand that the new covenant through Yeshua only came into existence when he died without sin. See 20:20-10:01, the miraculous planning of the death of Yeshua, when, how, and what. Note also that in all Yeshua accomplished, he accomplished as an Old Testament prophet. See 20:12-08:08, Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet. In other words, all that he achieved could have been achieved by any other believer alive at that time if they had the knowledge and anointing and were free of sin. To prove that Jesus is God, one must establish what he did on the earth that could only have been done by the Creator. In this regard, see comments below regarding Christ equals the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. Folks, if you are of a mind that God came to earth as a man and did a whole lot of things just because he was God, I'm sorry to tell you, you've been misled. Legally, the Almighty could not have come to earth as a man. He had to be a child of Adam. Yeshua was born of a virgin, was a child of Adam. Legal requirement. See the article on the miraculous planning of the death of Yeshua. It really makes these things clear. So important to understand this. Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet. Point number five, the great commandment, love Yah with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In considering the assertion that Jesus is God, which is more accurately Yeshua is Yah, which in itself does not make a lot of sense, consider the great commandment given in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Remember that in Matthew 22:37, Yeshua quotes this verse. Yeshua said to him, you shall love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Note that all this does not leave room for one to love Yeshua over Yah. For one to believe that Jesus is God, one has to find a way of explaining how one is not breaking this commandment. And remember that Yeshua commanded this, so there's no way he's going to want you to break this commandment. If you believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're putting Jesus up on a pedestal. He's a created being. He is mightily powerful because of the life that he led. It does not make him equal to Yah. It puts him in rank below Yah, the second in command, the chief operating officer, whatever you want to call him, the firstborn from the dead. But he reports to Yah, he submits to Yah, he is a child of Yah, he is a servant of Yah. And then he has authority over all the rest of us as king of all human kings and lord of all human lords. Point number six, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, no other mighty ones beside Yah. Remember also Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, Yah the eternally self-existing, our mighty one. Yah the eternally self-existing is one. And also Exodus 20:1-2. I am Yah the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other mighty ones before me. Yeshua is clearly a mighty one, but he is not the almighty mighty one. Therefore, do not worship Yeshua. So again, if you think that God is a valid name for the almighty, and you take that verse as saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you shall have no other gods before me. You get confused. Yah is the almighty, mighty one. Jesus is a mighty one, but he is not the almighty, mighty one. So Jesus is God, but not the God, not the almighty. You need to get that distinction, folks, because if you think that Jesus is God at one level, the demons are going to say to you, yes, you've got it. Jesus is a God. But God is a meaningless religious term. It's a pagan term. It's a satanic term. You shouldn't be using it. Comes back to this piece about getting your language straight, getting your translation straight. Then point number seven. Ordinary people do not understand anointed ones and what they do. In considering this discussion, it is vital to understand that ordinary people do not understand anointed ones and what those anointed ones say and do. So it is entirely possible that the people who recorded the Gospels, the Book of Acts, etc., misunderstood certain situations and things that were said. For this reason, there is a need for caution in interpreting the Bible relating to Yeshua. I've been walking for over 30 years with a significant anointing. At one stage, I was performing miracles. Father was speaking through me. Dramatic things were happening. The people around me did not understand what was going on in my life, why I was doing what I was doing. I had a few people who virtually ended up worshiping me for all the wrong reasons because Father spoke through me. And I walked in such anointing and such power. At one stage, you know, I was in a meeting with three other men. And as I got up and walked towards one of the other men, Father said to me, tell him to move the coffee table out the way because I'm going to slay him in the spirit. As I walked towards him, I didn't touch him. I was about 3 feet away from him. Wham! He fell to the floor. And the same with the next one, and the same with the next one. Those guys were very impressed with me. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know it was going to happen. I just walked towards them, and wham, they were down. I didn't even really understand what was happening there because I'd only been walking with Father intensely for about a year and a half. And so it is that when those sort of things happen, the people around you haven't got a clue what's going on. Even today, although I don't walk in that same power, I still walk in that authority, and the people around me often do not understand what I'm doing, what I'm saying, why I say it. So you need to be clear that you cannot place 100% reliance on what the Bible says about Jesus. It's filtered through the paradigm, the experience set of the person who recorded that particular gospel or that particular letter, or who translated it or transcribed it. It's highly, highly risky. Point number 8, Yah can speak through a spokesman or prophet in the first person or prophetess. I've had experiences where Yah has spoken through me in the first person, and there are a number of instances in the Gospels where Yah spoke through Yeshua in the first person. That does not make Yeshua Yah. It makes him an anointed spokesman, an anointed servant. So an example I just shared with the three men who were slain in the Spirit, one after the other. Each time Father spoke through me, it was like I was speaking in tongues, just that it was English that was coming out of my mouth. I had absolutely, the only thing I could do was to shut my mouth. But as long as I just kept my mouth open and allowed my vocal cords to speak, Father spoke through me in the first person. I am well pleased with you. I will do this in your life. You will become this, etc., etc. And that is how Yeshua walks. When Yeshua says, I do only what I see my Father do, that's what he's talking about. Again, if you read a verse in the Bible where Yah has spoken through somebody, and you find this in Ezekiel, you find it in Isaiah, etc., it doesn't mean the spokesman is Yah. It means that Yah spoke through them because they were highly anointed and they were close to Yah, and Yah could use them that way. Then point number 9, issues of Bible verses, errors in transcription and translation through corrupt doctrine. I've spoken about this already, but I'm going to go there again. One of the challenges with the Bible is that in the early days, texts were manually transcribed by people with no formal disciplines with regard to transcription accuracy, and they were likewise translated by people with no disciplines with regard to translation accuracy. The reality is that they were liable to filter their writing through any preconceived notions they might have had. One report says there are some 1,250 discrepancies in the New Testament source manuscripts. The same report says that the most popular Bible translations are based on a manuscript found in the trash bin of a monastery. So one must be very careful with regard to the doctrine one builds based on the Bible, particularly where it appears that the New Testament is at odds with the Old Testament with regard to the standing of Yeshua. And I've touched on a variety of other aspects of translation error. Facts, folks, the fact is, the Bible was written by fallible human beings. It was recorded by fallible human beings. It was translated by fallible human beings. And it was transcribed by fallible human beings. And it is therefore not definitive. If you build a doctrine that Jesus is God based on the Bible, and contrary to you shall have no other mighty ones before Yah, contrary to the name of the man is Yahushua, Yah is salvation and therefore cannot possibly be Yah. His name is either Yahushua or his name is Yah. It can't be both. If you build your doctrine on the basis of those things, you are going to get into trouble. Then number 10, Christ means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. This issue has been discussed in some detail in the articles on the five lies and nine truths and the essence of message relating to Yeshua that I've referred to previously. Fundamentally, Christ relates to Yah, not to Yeshua. This is one of the greatest misunderstandings that perpetuates the lie that Jesus is God. Christ is equated to Jesus and then transposes attributes of the Creator, Yah, onto the created being, Yahushua. It is the Spirit of Yah that is the Christ that heals, performs miracles, and that Yah uses to speak through people. It was the Spirit of Yah on me in such abundant measure that it flowed out from around me as a sort of a force field that knocked those men to the floor. It was the Spirit of Yah in me, speaking through me, through my vocal cords, that spoke to those men as me. I am Yah. I understood, and I think they understood, that when I spoke in the first person, it was not about me, it was Yah speaking through me. So this being so, how then does one prove that Yeshua is Yah? Yah, how do you prove that Jesus is God? I say to you, you can't do it. Any reference that equates Jesus with Christ is in most cases suspect and false. Refer to the previous articles I've just referred to. There are some instances where Christ is synonymous with Jesus, where Christ actually means the anointed one, referring to a specific person, but they are relatively few and far between. Then number 11, Yeshua is Adonai, Lord, not the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. Another linguistic confusion in the Bible is that Jesus is called Lord in the New Testament and Yah is called the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, in the Old Testament, so people equate the two. Yeshua is Adonai, a human Lord, whereas the Lord is a wrong translation of Yah, the eternally self-existing. Once one corrects one's language, this confusion falls away. Again, once it is established that Yeshua is not the Lord, how then is Jesus God? Refer to the articles cited above. So, folks, another example of where inaccurate translation. Yah, the eternal self-existing, the Hebrew phrase Yahweh, Yahuwah, doesn't in any meaningful way correlate with the Lord. But the people who did the original English translations made that corrupt interpretation because of a mistaken Jewish belief that you could not use the name of the Almighty, which is Yah. And so that name was lost. It's all corrupted. It's a huge mess. But if you don't understand this, if you don't make the adjustments, you will continue walking in the trap of believing that Jesus is God. I can't stress this enough, folks. If you die believing that Jesus is God, you're going to come before the judgment seat and the Almighty is going to say to you, you are in serious error. You've been believing and propagating lies. You're going to hell for a season to pay the price for your error. I don't want that for you, and I'm sure you don't want it for yourself. Point number 12, there is no Trinity. Noting the previous points, it is important to understand that there is only one verse, Matthew 28:19, which specifically references Father, Son, and Set-Apart Spirit, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Note here that the Set-Apart Spirit is part of Yah, so there is no Trinity, and in fact, the Trinity is a pagan concept. There's a link on the website. If you go to the page, Can You Prove That Jesus Is God? You'll find a link to how ancient Trinitarian gods influenced adoption of the Trinity. Fundamentally, the Son is not part of Yah, and the set of part spirit is exactly what it says. It's a part of Father that he sets apart to put in believers. So there's the universal spirit of Yah in whom we live and move and have our being, and there is the set apart spirit of Yah who's in me, who's in any other believer. That's not a trinity. It's not a bi-unity or whatever. It's Father and part of his spirit. In the same way that if I am one with a woman, part of my spirit is in her. If she is one with me, part of her spirit is in me. That doesn't make us a whatever. The other point is that Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is only in some of the original manuscripts. I've made the point earlier that there are different Greek manuscripts and some of them differ. And the verses about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit only occur in some of those manuscripts, which happen to be the less accurate, but for doctrinal reasons, people have adopted them because they gel more closely with their false doctrines. Number 13, Jesus is a God, but not Yah. As discussed in previous articles, and I discussed this a few minutes ago, the Hebrew word translated God is correctly translated as Mighty One, capital M, capital O, or Almighty in the context of the Creator, or Mighty One, lowercase, in the context of Yeshua, and other powerful human beings. So a president or a prime minister is a mighty one or God. Accordingly, it is correct to say that Jesus is God, lowercase, but it is false to say that Yeshua is Yah or Jesus is God, uppercase. Once this distinction is made, how then does one prove that Yeshua is Yah? Folks, I hope by now you are starting to get a picture that every step of the way there is wrong thinking, wrong teaching that leads you into this mistaken belief that Jesus is God. If you use the correct names, and by the way, Satan is also a mighty one. So it is true that Satan is God. It is even written in the New Testament, Satan is the God of this world. Satan is the mighty one of this world. But for whatever reason, instead of translating the Hebrew Elohim as mighty one, the translators translated it as God. There's no correlation between God and Elohim. It's a completely mixed up, muddled up, messed up falsehood. Then 14, all created beings are children of God. People think that because Yeshua referred to himself as the Son of God, i.e. the Son of Yah, that this somehow made him a procreated offspring of Yah. Consider, for example, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of the Almighty, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There are other verses that refer to the sons of the Almighty God. Consider Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day the sons of God, or the sons of the Almighty, came to present themselves before Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord. And Satan also came with them. So all created beings are sons of the Almighty. That's sons of Yah. As a believer, one refers to Father Yah as Father. That makes us sons and daughters. So when Yeshua refers to himself as the Son of Yah, that's all that he's saying. Yah's my daddy. If you're a believer, he's your daddy. My beloved mighty one. Why insult him by making Yeshua, the created being, synonymous with Yah? Folks, it's tragic. It's horrible. I hope by now you're realizing that if you believe that Jesus is God, you're making a serious, serious mistake. I ask you now, I beg you, let go of the lie. Yeshua is a created being. He's a fabulous, powerful, all-powerful created being because of his obedience and his life without sin. Refer to the other articles. So this is going to continue next week. We'll carry on with the next however many points we get through. And I hope this is helping you. I hope you are shifting your opinion. Please write to me if you've got questions. Look at the website. Look at the articles that I've referred to. There's a wealth of information about this subject on the website. So now I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, why are we here? Pinch yourself. Why are you here? Because some indeterminate blob of matter that came from we don't know where somehow invented itself into millions of planets and stars and invented the stars, self-invented, and then created this planet and the solar system, and then created plants, and then created animals, and then created us. And it all just happened randomly. No. It was all part of a very carefully crafted plan to create friends for Yah. And if you're not a friend of Yah, you are missing out seriously on the whole purpose and only purpose for your existence. So wrapping up on the website, a few key documents and a video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Likewise to Jews, Likewise to Muslims, Likewise to Other Faiths, Likewise to Unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. More effective to search for Relationship with Creator Radio on Google. There are at least four podcast sites that have all the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's over 2,500 articles in the article databases, about well over 1,000 web pages on a huge diversity of topics. Use the Google search, the article search, the keyword cloud to look for what you're looking for. You may well find answers to your questions on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. By the way, you cannot be a friend of the Creator if you believe that Jesus is God. So one of the things you've got to get right is, if you want to become a friend of Yah, you need to stop believing that he's confused and that he came to earth as a human being. So I just want to wrap up by saying to you, it does not matter who you are. Father wants to be your friend, whether you're tall or short, fat or thin, educated or uneducated, wealthy or poor, whether you're Indian or African or Eurasian or European or whatever, Muslim or Jewish or Baha'i or Hindu or Muslim, Confucius or Buddhist or Christian or whatever, Father wants to be your friend. He wants you to be his friend. It's much easier for him to be your friend because he is by nature friendly. The question is, will you become his friend? Will you get to a place where he is so important to you that there's nothing more important in your life, that you walk with him, talk with him? I challenge you today. Make a decision now. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.